chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. We're talking about the verse in Hebrews 11:30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. That must have been quite a sight. A new way to fight a war. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Only on that day. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout! For the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. Well, that was quite a sight. That was quite a sight. If you'd have been on the inside, or peeking through the wall somewhere, or some gate somewhere, on top of the wall, looking down, you would have seen 7 priests, each with a ram's horn, whatever they were playing, while other priests were carrying the ark, following the priests with the ram's horn. Then they had armed men go before all of them, to protect them, I suppose. And then they had the rear ward, which is an assemblage and other assemblies of people that follow. Okay, so the scene was the armed men first, the priests with horns, then the ark, and then the rear ward. And so they went around the walls once a day for 6 days, and They were silent with their voices, but the ram's horns were blowing. And then on the seventh day, they made seven trips around the city, and the priests blew long and loud. And the people heard it. And Joshua said, "Shout!" And the people let go with a mighty shout, and the walls fell down flat. That sounds like a child's story, maybe. That's no child's story. That's a true Bible story. This is our God. Praise the Lord. Well, when you read things like this, sometimes it's interesting just to see what you come up with, like application of it to real life, so on. So let's just look for a minute at the sinner's state. The sinner's state. Now in Joshua 6:17, he said, "The city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord." That's the sinner's state. The city was already condemned 40 years before that. In Exodus 23:27, he said, "I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their back unto thee." Well, the sentence of death had already been passed on Jericho. Isn't that what the Bible says about the sinner's state today? He that believeth not is already condemned, because he believeth not on the name of the Son of God. So that is the sinner's state. And surely, at that time that they were under condemnation, just like the sinner today, they were glorying in their own strength and in their own invulnerability. How many people feel invulnerable out there today? Just because they've got some physical strength, they don't understand that they're going to get older and older and weaker and weaker and older and older and weaker and weaker. Because in the prime of your life, you think, "Man, what's going to slow me down? What's going to keep me down?" You look at an old person struggling to get out across the street, or struggling to get out of his car in a parking lot, and you just look and say, "That's not me. I'll never be like that. I am invulnerable." And that's the way the sinner feels when he's out there enjoying his sin today and living for the devil and ignoring God and shaking his fist in God's face and laughing at the church and laughing at the Word of God. But he just doesn't know how vulnerable he is and how weak he is, because he's ignorant of his condition in the sight of God. Okay, so we can apply that and say that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in Jericho, and everybody in Pentecostal Assembly Church, everybody in America, everybody in Israel, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sentence of death has already been passed upon us 6,000 years ago. The sentence of death was passed upon us through Adam, when Adam disobeyed God and sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, "Death passed upon all men," Romans 5:12. So we were already under the condemnation of death. And we just like I said before, we gloried in our strength and our invulnerability. Sure, look at me, I'm healthy. Look at me, I'm educated. Look at me, I'm intelligent. Look at me, I'm wealthy. Look at me, who's going to stop me? I've got it all. No, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. We are ignorant of our condition in the sight of God. We were glorying in our strength and our invulnerability, but we were ignorant of our condition in the sight of God. And then Joshua 6:1 says that Jericho was straitly shut up. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Well, they shut themselves up against God. You know, they could have stood there and said, "We surrender. We surrender." And who knows what God would have done? Who knows what God will do when people surrender to Him? We know what He will do, but the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." It's like the vain, proud efforts of vain, proud, defiant sinners. It really is. They shut themselves within the walls of their own righteousness. But the Bible says here, the walls fell down flat. Their only refuge failed them. And great was the fall of it. And that's the same thing. Those walls were the work of their own hands. Those walls were no better than a rotten ship in a violent storm. Let me say that again. Those walls of Jericho were no better than a rotten ship in a violent storm. And that's why Paul said in Philippians 3:9, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, not having mine own walls of self-righteousness surrounding me and protecting me and making me feel safe and secure. No, we are vulnerable to the wrath of God, because he that believeth not is already under condemnation. And oh, we need to learn that lesson. So Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having mine own walls, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Good works can never save us. We are saved by faith. And I don't know how many people are occupying pews in myriad churches today, thinking that just because they go to church, everything's all right between them and God. They don't know that they're under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God. Your good works will not save you. I don't cut my hair. I don't wear pants. I wear long dresses. I this. Oh, that's all good. That's all good. That's all in the Word of God. The principles behind that are all in the Word of God. But that won't save you. Long hair, long dress, and long face won't save you. You need long hair, long dress, and a short face. The joy of the Lord in your soul. Amen. You are not saved by your own righteousness. So Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And he had a list of things that he could offer in that book. I want that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. So if we're trying to be saved by our own self-righteousness, our walls are going to fall down flat. Yes, they will. And I want to say, oh, how we need him. He is our salvation. Praise the Lord. And he makes those changes, necessary changes, those changes for good in our lives. The changes that we make are man-made. The changes he makes will bring you the joy of the Lord in your soul. Praise the Lord. There's nothing to me more beautiful than a saved, holy, happy Christian. And there's really nothing more miserable to look at on the face of the earth than a long-faced Christian. Somebody who claims to be, or thinks they are, or hopes they're saved, and they're not. And they're not enjoying what God has offered them and what God has for them. They're not happy. That is such a sad sight. Well, let's go back to Jericho. Inside the walls of Jericho, what's going on while these Israelites are going round and round their city once a day, 6 days, and then the seventh day, seven times? What's going on in Jericho? I'll tell you what's going on. Terror. Those people are scared to death. They are in the walls of Jericho, and they have mighty walls, a mighty fortress around them. These walls are impregnable. They felt invulnerable in there until they heard about the God of Israel and what he did. I mean, if he can, and the Red Sea opens up and the ground dries up and the children of Israel go over on dry land, if God can do that, hey, maybe he can shake these walls up. Maybe we're not as safe as we thought we were. And they huddled in those walls full of terror. They were scared to death, you can be sure. Rahab said to the spies, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og." Remember Og, his bed was 13 and a half feet long, 6 feet wide. Woo, that's a big man. A steel bed. "Whom you utterly destroyed." So Rahab is talking now. Now she's not representing all the people. Although she says, "We heard." She might mean her family. She means herself. "I've heard." I know she means that. Maybe more. "But as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt." Now she can represent everybody, because everybody's heart melted. "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man." Now she's representing everybody. "Because of you." Now she says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She's on the way to getting saved, isn't she? She's on the way. She's believing. Now the rest of the city didn't believe, but she believed. And somehow she got her family believing. Listen to it. Well, we know that Jericho had the jitters. Jericho's jitters. They were tormented for 6 days. 1 John 4:18 says, fear hath torment. Fear can paralyze you. You've heard statements like, he froze with fear, or I was frozen with fear. Well, I know one thing. If I had to get into the ring with a heavyweight boxing champion of the world, the very sound of the opening bell would be screaming in my ears, you've been hit! And I'd take a dive. I'd feel like I've already been hit. I'd be so scared, so jittery. Now that's fear. That's torment. And the Bible says fear hath torment. The inhabitants of Jericho probably didn't sleep real well those nights. But it was soon over. It was soon over. Listen to it again. The walls fell down flat, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. And some people find fault with that, and we'll talk about that. But first of all, I'd like to just talk about the future of the infamous, ignominious Jericho. What a reputation Jericho had. Joshua said, 6:17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Jericho was under the curse of God Almighty. And some people would say, wrongfully so, and I will say, rightfully so. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Heaven isn't some place that people deserve. Heaven is God's gift, God's blessing to those who believe. You weren't born deserving to be saved. I wasn't born deserving salvation. Oh, I've got to get that message into at least one church in the world. Hopefully this one. Joshua 6:26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. Wow. So that Jericho was infamous. Doom. The date here is 1451 B.C. The law was given 1491 B.C. That's a common figure that we should all get acquainted with, 1491 B.C. And now it's 40 years later, 1451 B.C. Well, B.C., before Christ. Okay, Jesus came. Now, he lived 33 and a half years. So add 33 years to that 1451 B.C. And you have 1,484 years later that Jesus came to Jericho. Do you want to read about it? Or should I just talk about it? Luke 18. Jesus came to Jericho. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on an inhabitant of Jericho. Have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So here comes Jesus, 1,484 years after that curse was reiterated, pronounced upon Jericho. Now look at Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. They were notorious sinners. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest of a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to Jericho. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, my friend, New York City certainly seems to be cursed of God. But Jesus Christ is combing the streets and the alleys and the ghettos of New York City, coming to seek and to save that which was lost. He went to Jericho, that accursed city, and he saved these people there in Jericho. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going through the nation today in every filthy place, in the brothel, in the prisons, everywhere, seeking to save that which is lost. Now, maybe you have a history of being under a curse. That history can be broken. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been born into a cursed family or a cursed city, yet Jesus came to your house seeking the lost, and he saw your hunger, and he saved you. He was aware of all the cursing and all the cheating and all the adultery and fornication and lying and thievery. He was aware of all that. But he came anyway, seeking to save that which was lost. So on his way to Calvary, he went through Jericho. Perhaps I can find one more lost soul before I die. One more. And now, today, 1993, just before his second coming, he is combing a sinful nation and world and seeking one more lost soul. Are you here today, folk? Are you here today, an unrepentant sinner? Are you here today, unsaved, unprepared to meet Jesus Christ? He's looking for you. Will you respond? Amen. And of course, there's a question. I talk about the Bible a lot when I visit people. I love to talk about the Bible. And this question has been asked me several times. Yeah, well, what did God tell them to kill all those people for? I mean, young people, old people, sick people, healthy people, male, female, kill them all, destroy them all. Somebody asked me, what if there were some good people in the city? Well, I have an instant reaction to that question. My reaction is I can hardly believe how quick we are to wonder if perhaps God made a mistake. And brother and sister, that makes me sick to the pit of my stomach when people will defend sinners and accuse God. When they'll defend evil and wickedness and accuse a holy God. There is something wrong in the brain of a man when he thinks like that. And there is something wrong in the heart of a man when he thinks like that. And he's got to have a cleansing. He's got to have a change. Because you're not going to stand and answer to some king of earth. You're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he'll do the talking and we'll do the answering. When he does the accusing, we will have no defense. But when you accuse him, he's got a defense. In the Old Testament, he said, What iniquity have you found in me? In the New Testament, he said, Which of you accuse me of sin? I am perfect. I am holy. I am incapable of error. I have never made a mistake. And when I destroyed Jericho, I knew what I was doing. Where do we get this idea that somehow man is good, man is righteous, man is worthy without the Lord Jesus Christ?
impossible. This is not a message that people want to hear in this generation. This is not a message that even Christians want to hear in this generation. But I want to tell you something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Amen. All are under the condemnation of death. And without receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are lost, eternally doomed, damned. That's the facts, brother and sister. If those are not the facts, burn it, toss it. It's in the book from beginning to the end. We've got to come to the place where we understand this. So I said, I can hardly believe how quick we are to wonder if perhaps God made a mistake and destroyed some good people along with some bad people. Let's read God's answer to that accusation. Let's read God's answer to that question. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, Lord, are you making a mistake? Would you destroy some good people with some bad people? Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner. Oh, what a lesson we're learning right now from Abraham. God wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. To slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he said unto him yet again and said, spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. God answers that question. Could God perhaps have made a mistake? No way, folks. No way. Don't judge God. He cannot make a mistake. Well, then. And if I go to hell, it won't be God's mistake. It'll be mine. And if I go to hell, it won't be my goodness. It'll be God's grace. Please, please look at it that way. I have a burden on my heart for that truth to be known. Well, going on, somebody said, is there perhaps a scientific explanation of how the walls of Jericho fell down? And I was just reading recently that archaeologists have tried to determine what made those walls fall down. And even thinking Christians have come up with the notion that because they marched in unison, that it created some kind of vibrations that God knew just when. That's why he said seven times around on the seventh day, and those walls would fall. Well, can I tell you how they fell? The Bible says by faith. Yeah. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Yeah. That's how they fell down. Right. Not, and the archaeologists aren't going to find the reason why they fell down. And I could talk about that for a long time. Yes, I got to go on. So, faith's accomplishments cannot be dug up by the archaeologist's spade. How about that? Amen. Joshua acted in faith. He believed what God said. He obeyed what God said. And God did what he said he would do. That's all there is to it. Oh, where is my faith? Why do I have to find reasons and answers apart from faith? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I like that crash course on taking care of putting evolution in its place and explaining creation. Like the man that said, I believe in God and evolution. And I said, the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Do me a favor. Don't try to outsmart God. You will be a colossal failure. Really. No man's going to outsmart God. He said to us, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Rahab was a harlot. And I've read men that say that that word harlot there means hostess, or it means innkeeper. And they use that word commonly in those days, they said. Innkeeper, harlot. They go back to the original languages, you know, Hebrew and Greek. Rahab was a harlot. We read that. Read it in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shiloh two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. But, you know, Rahab was not saved because she was something less than a harlot or something better than a harlot. You know? No. That's not why she was saved. She was saved by faith. But people will try to prove to you that she was not an harlot or a harlot. She was a harlot. That's what the Bible says. Okay? What's wrong with just taking it like it says? Why try to make it a nicer person out of her? And after all, she got saved. Not by her good works. She got saved by faith. Amen. Rahab was not saved because she was a good person. She was saved by faith. And brother and sister, you and I weren't saved because we were good people. We were saved by faith. Listen to it. And such were some of you. 1 Corinthians 6:11. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Rahab wasn't justified because she was an innkeeper instead of a harlot. Did it make any difference to God if he's going to cleanse somebody and save somebody if they were harlots or churchgoers? They're all lost. They all need cleansing. They all need salvation. So Rahab said to the two spies, we have heard. Now, I just got to thinking. We have heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So she heard about the true God. She heard about his mighty works. He dried up the Red Sea for you, and he utterly destroyed Sihon and Og for you. And she said, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Then, after hearing, she said, would you save me? Would your God save me? And she requested. She asked for salvation. And she was bold. Maybe some of us come and we get saved ourselves. She was bold. She asked for the salvation of her daddy and her mother and her brothers and her sisters and all that they had. Wow. Doesn't the Bible say, Acts 16, what, 31? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Go ahead, Philippian jailer. Ask for your household too. God's mercy is great enough, big enough to save not only you, but your dad and your mom and your brothers and your sisters. Your relatives. Praise the Lord. Oh, how we need to ask for our families, saints of God. Do you have children that are lost? Do you have parents that are lost? Do you have cousins, relatives that are lost? Pray for them. Ask God for them. He's willing. He's able to save them too. Praise the Lord. Amen. So she asked for salvation. That's one thing you have to do. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And if you want to get saved, you have to ask. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But she didn't just call and say, save me. They gave her orders and she obeyed those orders. And the Apostle Peter gave us some orders. He said, you want to be saved? They said, what shall we do? We want to be saved from this tragedy that we have caused, this killing of the Messiah. Save us. What shall we do, men and brethren? And the apostle said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Friend, have you repented of your sins? You won't be saved without it. Jesus said, it's recorded twice in one chapter of Luke, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Friend, have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized in water, underwater, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Again, friend, have you received the Holy Ghost? You need the Holy Ghost. She obeyed. She didn't just say, Lord, save me, and then forget it or drop it there. No. She obeyed the spies' orders. Chapter 2, verse 18. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. This is the only house we're going to save. You know, the church is the household of God. That's the only house he's going to save. You got to get in the church, in the kingdom of God. So bring them all home. Bring them all home. Oh, folks, pray for your children. Pray for your families, your mother, dad, uncle, aunt, and so on. Pray for them and bring them to church. Bring them into the house of God. Praise the Lord. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head. And we are not guilty of breaking our contract with you. You keep your word, Rahab. And we'll keep ours. When we come marching through that city after the walls fall down by faith, and we look up and we see that scarlet thread hanging out of your window, we're going to spare your house. Your household will not perish. That scarlet thread hanging out, to me, sounds like the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you covered with the blood today? Am I covered with the blood of Jesus? It was the same as in the Passover. You had to put the blood on the lintel and on the side post of the door, and you had to get in the house and stay there when the death angel came through. If you were going to be spared, you had to be in the house under the blood. And here again, Rahab, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be spared from this destruction, this total destruction, you got to hang that scarlet thread out, and you've got to be under that household, that blood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who do we think we are that we can go out from under the blood? Who do I think I am? I'm a preacher. Yeah. God's got to save me. I mean, I read the Bible and I pray and I teach people good things. No, I've got to be under the blood of the Lamb. I was born of the same corrupt flesh and sinful heart and mind as you were, every one of us. Every one of us. We need to be under the blood. Praise the Lord. So Rahab's whole house was saved. Joshua 2:12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Wow, what faith she had. She dared cry out, amen. And the young man that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Spy out the city. Rahab's whole house was saved. And that's God's promise. You believe and I'll save your house if you will bring them in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Their salvation was not unconditional. Rahab's and the family's salvation was conditional. They had to stay inside. They had to stay in the house. Amen. Their salvation was not automatic. It was a reward of her faith. And I think it was a reward of their faith too, because they, mother and dad, brothers and sisters, believed her. And so, not only did they believe, they were obedient. Amen. We have to have that. Well, Rahab believed. Jericho didn't. And so Jericho was destroyed. We believe. The world doesn't. will be spared. Stay under the blood, stay in the house, and the world will be destroyed. Well, one more thing about Rahab. This is Hebrews 11:31. Rahab's faith brought her into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Isn't that? Faith does amazing things, doesn't it? It really does. Can you imagine that? See, Rahab, and you can read about it in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, how she was in the bloodline of Jesus. Okay, so what we're reading here in the book of Joshua is that Rahab attached herself to Israel. She married S-A-L-M-O-N, Salmon, and she gave birth to Boaz. And you've read about Boaz. And Boaz married Ruth and gave birth to Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse gave birth to David, who would become the king of Israel. What an honor. What an honor to be in the bloodline of Jesus. But what a greater honor it is to be washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I'll prove it to you. The Bible says it's a greater honor to be washed in the blood of Jesus than to be in the Jewish bloodline of Jesus. There are more proofs that I don't have time to give this morning, but turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, that's his bloodline, right? Desiring to speak with him. And one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. That puts me in the bloodline of Jesus, doesn't it? That puts you and me in the bloodline of Jesus, not naturally, but spiritually speaking. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Praise the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 11. Two verses there. Luke chapter 11. I think this is so beautiful. Jesus, our wonderful Jesus, said these words. Luke 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, preaching, teaching all the time, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto them, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And Jesus quickly responded, but he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What an honor to be in the bloodline of Jesus, but what a greater honor to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So here we have a harlot. We have a heathen woman. We have a Gentile in the bloodline of Jesus. Amazing. Really amazing. Rahab was a sinner. And she still got into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. She was a Gentile and still got into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Brother Tamer, how do you explain that? I explain there were many other sinners in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. In fact, they were all sinners. Everybody in the bloodline of Jesus Christ was a sinner. They were looking for their Messiah to come. They were looking for their Savior to come, who would save them, Israel, Jews, from their sins. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The distinguishing factor regarding Jesus was not that he was a Jew, but that he was sinless. The only human being that's ever walked the face of the earth. Now the Bible says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We were not born of his flesh. We were not born of flesh. So the next verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's not a new nationality. He is a new creature. I'm enjoying myself. Anybody out there understand? Hallelujah. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21, same chapter says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who? Those that were in his bloodline? No, listen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all, Jew or Gentile, Norwegian, German, Polish, whatever, Indian, black man, red man, white man, whatever. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Rahab, by grace are you saved through faith. Hallelujah. Israel, by grace are you saved through faith. Heathen, Gentiles, by grace are ye saved through faith. Members of Pentecostal Assembly Church, by grace are you saved through faith. There is no other way. You're saved the same way in the Old Testament as you're saved in the New Testament. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can we stand? And